All right, instructions to the booth in the back. Sean, on that list of slides you have an opening slide, then you have four slides with scripture excerpts, and then you have the slide after the scripture. I want to go right to the slide after the scripture today. I don't want to diminish any from the ceremony today. That's it, right there. Who knows what this is? It's a pearl in an oyster. Yeah. How did Jesus use that? Does anybody know? That's right. It's a great treasure to be had. What did he call that great treasure? Do you know? He called it the kingdom of God. Did you know that? He said the very first words in the Gospel of Mark, the first gospel written, in the first chapter, the very first words in red, the ones Jesus said, said, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. Believe it. Believe the good news. So he went around and started his ministry and started to convince people about this kingdom of God. And they're like us. They were looking around the world going, it's hard to find God in this world. It's hard to see God at work in the world we live in. This world is scary. This world is hard. This world is painful. Where's this kingdom of God you talk about? How do we get there? How do we escape from here to there? How do we find it? How do we build it? You want us to help you build it? How could we ever do that? So he went around and started teaching people the truth about what the kingdom of God is, that everybody's included, that it's of God and all God's creatures. That caused some problems to begin with. You mean everybody's included, even them? Yeah, all precious children of God, all part of God's creation. Not only that, but let me show you how to live with them. Do not judge them. Do not condemn them. The ones who claim to be your enemies, you love them. Give to all of them who ask for anything. Keep giving. If they ask for your coat, give them your shirt too. Give, give, and give. That's the key. For the more you give, the more you get back in reward from God. He showed us how to live in the kingdom. Where is it? So he started to tell us what it's like. Not what it is, but what it's like. You know, if you're having trouble finding it, think of this, he said. Think of the pearl of great price. The just the one perfect pearl in the oyster shell. Out of all the other pearls, think of the one that's most valuable, most glorious, most perfect, he said. That's what the kingdom of God is like. Among all those other pearls, that's what it's like. But he had another example. What's that? Now you're catching. That's a mustard seed, he said. So we used another example because we're hard to, you know, explain things that aren't right in front of us and we can't see. So he said it's like a mustard seed. Tiny, tiniest seed on the earth. You see it in there? Mac, it's no pumpkin seed. He said it's a mustard seed. But he said it's like when you plant a mustard seed, the tiniest seed on the earth, and it grows into a large bush and then a huge tree, and all the birds of the air come to that tree. Why? To rest in it. To rest, people. That's what the kingdom of God is like. A tree from a mustard seed that we can all go rest in. And we're like, okay, where's that? We're figuring it out. What is it? And then he had another example. It's a little tough one there. That's not scrambled eggs. That's yeast. It must have been so hard to teach us. Can you imagine? All right, let's try another lesson, he said. It's like yeast, the leaven. The kingdom of God is like the leaven in the flour. Because what does that do to the flour? That's right. It makes it rise so that the whole cake, the whole loaf of bread can rise up. That's what the kingdom of God does. It helps everything rise up to a new level, a new life, a new way of living. That's what the kingdom of God is like. Have you experienced that? The pearl, the seed, the leaven. Have you had that in your life? Have you had that experience? That's not literally it, he said. That's what it's like. Oh, he had another example. I think. Oh, yeah. What's that? That's the buried treasure. He said, all right, if none of those things work for you, I had no idea about the leaven, so. He said, if none of those things work for you, think of this. The kingdom of God is like a treasure buried in a large field. You may not today know exactly where it's buried, but you know it's in that field. That's called faith. And then you go and sell everything you have so you can buy the field. And be sure you've got it somewhere. You still might be seeking, but now you know you got it. It's just a matter of time. It's like buried treasure. Have you experienced that? Something so wonderful you'd sell everything you own for it? Just to have a chance at it? That's how wonderful it is. Well, that didn't touch everybody. He had another example. And this isn't a metaphor. Then he told us the truth. So where is it? How do I get there? What do I plug into my GPS? What's the address? And he said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's not like your heart. It's within you. Factual statement from the spiritual lessons of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is within each and every person. And we are people who like to look outside of ourselves for physical realities and hard evidence and proof, when we know that each one of us is created by God with that divine spark. And that divine spark holds something so precious. It's like a pearl. It's so small, it's like a mustard seed. The effect of it on us is that when we appeal to it, it lifts us up. If we pray about it, we can go rest there. It's the most valuable thing in our life if we really pay attention to it and don't miss it. And it's right here. It's the hope and the joy that God has planted in you when he created you and in every other single person, which means the kingdom of God is right here. It's in this room, all hidden within us, starting to emerge, wouldn't you say? Starting to show itself in ways that aren't traditional, not the ways we've always done it, ways that kind of are a little unusual sometimes, or stretch us, or make us fear. Those are signs it's the kingdom of God. Things happen that lift us up spiritually. And we know it's the kingdom when we start to experience it. When we start to feel the rest, know the value, understand the peace. God will lead us to this place inside of us if we let him in. It's why Paul created the churches, so that there would be communities of people, of believers, who all understood the kingdom of God, and they would build little patches of it all around the Holy Land so that the world could see there was another way to live as opposed to the way we're living. Just look at those little patches of the kingdom of God, and they would inspire people everywhere And that's what happened in the first century after Jesus left. And they started spreading across the world, but in a couple hundred years, the world got a hold of them. The world got a hold of those little communities and institutionalized them under the power of the Emperor of Rome. And they changed from being communities of the kingdom of God to churches of the Emperor of Rome. And we lost what we had. And in the 21st century, we're fighting to get it back. It's not working. We need the kingdom now. So here we are. What are we going to do with that gift? I'll end with a little, not just a question, a little story that's been told about when Jesus, after he finished his work here, he was crucified, he rose from the tomb, he spent another 40 days with us, got his disciples in order, filled them all with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, told them the Holy Spirit would tell them everything they need to know, and he ascended to heaven. Well, when he got to heaven, the flock of angels was waiting for him. They were anxious to hear the news. You know, some of those angels get to come down to earth every now and then and appear in the Bible, especially that one named Gabriel. So Gabriel was all curious about how it went. The new experiment. God became human and went to earth. Is everything all set now? I'm sure he's thinking. Has it been done? Is it perfect? Is it the kingdom? So Jesus gets back, and Gabriel comes up to him and says, "Wow, from what I could tell, you really had to suffer. It was hard. You weren't treated very well. You were crucified. Is that true?" Jesus says, "It is." And Gabriel says, "Well, before you left, did you tell everybody that God loves them so much that this is what happened? The reason for why this took place and what it means for everybody to find freedom from the world and peace in God. Did you tell everybody that?" And he said, "Oh no, just a few in Palestine." And Gabriel says, "Just a few in Palestine?" And he goes, "Well, they were going to tell others, and then there were going to be others, and then it would be others, and, you know, just give it time." And Gabriel says, "Are you crazy? What happens when the disciples are gone and the other people forget? And then it's turned into something else entirely than what you intended. Do you have another plan?" And Jesus said, "No, I got no plan B. I just got this. That's all."